First, I was surprised to see that you admit that Occupy failed.
Yeah.
You, in fact, think that failing was a success.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you just said is so perceptive, and I really appreciate that, because I was just talking to someone, and they also fixated on this thing about, was Occupy a failure? And she couldn't accept that argument. She's like, no, it was a success. It was a success. And I think that, you know, among contemporary activists, there's this narrative, which is that there's no such thing as failure, that everything we're doing is somehow, it's like a positive narrative we tell ourselves, that Occupy didn't fail, it just splintered to 1,000 shards of light and all this kind of stuff. But I think that the problem with that narrative is that it ultimately stops us from understanding why we did not achieve the social change that we wanted. And that's why I call Occupy Wall Street a constructive failure. It wasn't a total failure. It didn't achieve nothing at all, but it didn't achieve what we set out to achieve. It achieved secondary things, like it raised awareness, it trained a new generation of activists, it made protesting cool again. So that's why I call it a constructive failure. And the core idea there is that it taught us about the limitations of our current notions of activism. And that's why I wrote my book, is to kind of help activists up our game and become more sophisticated in the way we think about activism. One of the challenges, I think, of activists right now is that we're largely very unsophisticated about the way we think about social change. We basically have one model, and it's get as many people as possible into the streets, unified behind a single demand, and, you know, doing nonviolent actions together. Like, that's basically the paradigm. And we achieved that with Occupy, and it didn't work. And so we need to rethink our paradigm, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
You make an interesting comparison between that, the sort of, this is our current paradigm of how to protest, with the barricades in France.
Mm. I think protest is basically a form of warfare. It's a form of politics by other means, which is kind of like a definition of war. It doesn't mean it's always violent, but instead what it means is that you're using unconventional means to influence the political regime. And what that means, though, is that your opponent learns very quickly from your new behaviors. And so activism is actually a domain in which you have to innovate constantly. So if you look at the example of the barricades in 1848, I think this is a perfect example for activists to look at and study, which is that they first erected barricades in, you know, in Paris in like basically like February or something like that. And it was so effective, it toppled the king. They got all these like amazing laws passed, like, you know, universal like employment and all this kind of great stuff. And then very quickly, the barricades spread all over Europe, and all of the great revolutionaries of the time, Marx, Engels, Bakunin, they were alive, they were witnessing this, and they thought, this is it, this is the revolutionary moment we've been dreaming of. It was much like Occupy in that sense, that we all kind of, like, believed. But then the barricades were smashed, and they were smashed by a French general who for the very first time, used cannon fire to destroy the barricades. And once they figured out how to do that, then all of the barricades across Europe were smashed within, you know, a couple weeks. And furthermore, whenever barricades were used again, such as like during the Paris Commune in 1871, or even during like the Russian Revolution in 1905 and all this kind of stuff, they were also smashed. And we haven't seen barricades ever be effective again, because now they know how to defeat barricade. And it's the same thing with Occupy. Occupy was extremely effective, the tactic of occupying public space, holding a general assembly, very effective for about 60 days. But once the Zuccotti encampment was evicted, you can go back in time and you can look and you see that almost all the encampments around the world were evicted within 1 week, because they all learned the same way, to the same countermeasure. And so as activists, it's beholden on us to understand that our opponent is slow to react, but very good at replicating its solution to the problem, basically. It can disseminate its counter tactic extremely quickly. And it's effective because it trains. You know, even right now, there's probably police officers who are training in how to defeat an Occupy type event. You know, and so activism requires a level of innovation that is very difficult to achieve. But otherwise, what you fall into is what I call the end of protest, which is the proliferation of ineffective protest. The revolution always looks differently. The French Revolution did not look like the Russian Revolution, and the next revolution won't look like the Russian Revolution. The next great movement, social movement, won't look like Occupy Wall Street. And so, it's good to learn about those things, but it's also good to like really stay open. It's one of the hard things.
If for some reason lightning strikes twice and you're at the vanguard of another revolution, what are you personally learned and put it in your toolkit?
Yeah, I mean, I believe absolutely lightning is going to strike again, and I will be involved in another great social movement. Based on my own experience as an activist, it always comes again for me. I do think that on the one hand, you have to realize that any sort of urban protest can't last very long, like I think maybe 28 days at the most for an urban protest. And on the other hand, I think that you have to kind of aggressively go for the like jugular, as it were, which is basically you have to aggressively go for power while you have the opportunity.
I'm now going to declare you the most dangerous man in America.
Wow, thank you.
Because you're thinking about it, and you know, you're smart, and you're waiting for your moment.
I'm extremely patient, of course. You have to be so patient and so confident and so strategic. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to be the most dangerous man in America, but we'll have to. I mean, I think in a certain sense, you know, when you start to compare yourself to actual successful revolutionaries of the past, then you kind of like have to be a little bit more humble and say, let's just see what actually happens. Let's see what I actually can do, because Occupy was nothing compared to like the French Revolution or Russian Revolution or the Cuban Revolution or Chinese Revolution, any of these revolutions. You know, it was just a foretaste, maybe, or a foreshock.
The book is The End of Protest, A New Playbook for Revolution. I've been speaking with the most dangerous man in America, Micah White, and The End of Protest is published by Knopf Canada.